grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the Dudes and Beer podcast. Chris Jordan, your host, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, once again this evening. I hope everybody is doing well and ready for this amazing episode with longtime favorite of the audience and of the show, our good friend Dr. John Hall, on tonight discussing topics like Havana Syndrome, the recent DC Sonic attacks, people like Robert Duncan, Aaron Alexis, mass shooters, the DC car mom who supposedly heard the voice of Obama in her head telling her to do things. We will be discussing the world of targeted individuals, targeting technology, what that is all about, how some of that even relates to the current disclosure world going on around us, as well as how that relates to the world of mass shootings, and the rise of mass shootings, the possible correlation to the rise of mass shootings in America over the last many, many years. We'll be getting into those topics and so much more tonight with our good friend, Dr. John Hall. We have, for the first time in a while, a report this evening from our good friend, John Bound. Let's check out what John has to say here.
Henry Kissinger once said, "Today Americans would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. And here America sits, vulnerable from a pandemic subjugation that has terrorized our rights."
White evangelicals, 45%, say they won't get vaccinated, according to a Pew Research. Republicans, almost 50% of Republicans are refusing to get the vaccine. So we won't reach herd immunity because of those particular groups. So I say we need to shun those that refuse to get vaccinated, just like now in certain states, many states, I know in New York. There are signs on storefronts, on businesses all across the state. No mask, no entry. I think if you have not been vaccinated, no entry.
Infiltrated by decades of Marxist indoctrination that began in America's universities and has now permeated into America's elementary schools and destroyed our cities. While American police are increasingly unable to respond to 911 calls as their departments are hollowed out, while criminals pour over our border.
Yeah, please hurry, because it sounds like she's being assaulted right now.
I mean, it sounds like she's being raped currently.
We'll be out there as soon as possible.
As soon as possible on March 30th for the Salt Lake City Police Department meant 28 minutes.
The stage is set for Kissinger's United Nations troops to take center stage, but they need that one event that will undeniably convince the public that their very existence is threatened. The evidence of unidentified flying objects confronting the military is so prevalent that it is almost undeniable.
Absolutely extraordinary, and every day it seems like new information drops, things that the public and the media weren't told. So, for example, former Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe just threw into the conversation the other day the fact that the satellite imagery of all this and some of the speeds being reported seem to blow the theory about foreign drones out of the water. We must be told what's going on here, and we should think of this upcoming report to Congress as an intelligence assessment of the phenomenon itself, and one that's long overdue.
But who is to say it isn't smoke and mirrors in order to unleash a more nefarious purpose, an invasion by global governance in the form of the Antichrist? The technology to create that illusion has long been available.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
We've seen hologram technology move leaps and bounds over the last few years. Maybe you caught Jesse's look at 3D volumetric displays a few weeks ago. Now, researchers from the Interact Lab at the University of Sussex have created three-dimensional holograms you can hear and even feel. They call their device the Acoustic Trap Display. Essentially, it's using sound to manipulate a tiny particle that traces out these images.
And the New World Order is addicted to the big lie. So what is the biggest lie they can tell? John Bound reporting.
John, thank you so much, as always, my friend. Always laying it down and putting it really, much like we were talking about in our episode last week with friend and guest Mike Turber, going through a lot of the technology that has come out and is available, and really going, is what we're seeing what we're being told it might be, or might it be something completely different? And much like the technology that we will be coming to talk about this evening with guest Dr. John Hall, we will be talking about technologies that have been around for years, sometimes even decades, before its application in known uses. So to find out more about this and everything else, stop on by the Dudes and Beer Facebook group. That is where you can get all the news that we post, things like Eric Clapton coming out with, of course, incorrect claims saying that the COVID vaccine might cause infertility. The new bomb report from Project Veritas about the Fox 26 reporter from my hometown of Houston. Go, go, Houston girl. Yeah. For Ivory Hecker has gone public and saying that there is full-on censorship at Fox whenever she has tried to bring out articles, things like that, tried to do reports. She has been told to cease and desist. She was told to cease and desist specifically about her whistleblowing and has since lost her job. So good on you, Project Veritas, for putting that out. Harvey Weinstein, this out of NBC News, Harvey is to be extradited to California to face sexual assault charges, finally. And another out of Reuters, World Wide Web code that changed the world is up for auction as an NFT. Those are just some of the articles that we have posted in the last week, actually today, on the Dudes and Beer Facebook group. Feel free to stop on by. It's an open group. Join the conversation. That's what it's all about. That's what this show is all about. That is quite literally what our upcoming change is all about. That's what our new gig, Curious Realm, is going to be all about, folks. Not that we don't love Dudes and Beer. We love Dudes and Beer. But more than anything about Dudes and Beer, what we love is the mission of Dudes and Beer. Topics like what we're talking about tonight with Dr. John Hall. This is tonight's guest in this topic, or one of the things that really steeled the path of this show, and made me go, wow, my little show with some people sitting around a table having a beverage actually is reaching somebody. I was contacted by a targeted individual after we had Dr. John Hall on, and it was a very moving story. It went on for a few pages, and it was what has come to me to be the atypical story of a person being targeted. And this was a person that lived in Israel who was being targeted by the Israeli government. And just such a moving story that it was like, wow, I have a chance to impact things in a different way. So the same way that we started having more guests like Dr. John Hall on, more people like Mike Turber, more people like Graham Phillips and Bingo Minerva, people like Richard B. Spence, all that stuff, having the important conversations, the deep, hard conversations, It's been great and it's been fun. And the problem is, unfortunately, we cannot grow the mission or message anymore as Dudes or Beer. Quite literally, I tried to make a post to, like, you know, boost likes and members and followers of our page, and it was disallowed because beer is in the name, and Facebook doesn't promote beer, and most social media platforms don't promote beer. So even to make a decent, like, $10 ad every month to get a few more people to listen to the message, to find the website, things like that, we are rapidly being delisted in that realm. And I don't think that does the message a whole lot of good. I don't think that does the show's message a whole lot of good. So, as we've said before, we will be switching. Things will be happening. The artwork is already up, as you saw in the Dudes and Beer group. The website is even up. You'll hear us refer to it tonight. All kinds of stuff. CuriousRealm.com. It's pretty much a copy-paste of Dudes and Beer. It's got everything, folks. The Knowledge Vault, our guest videos. It's got the store. All that kind of stuff. It's even got the Listen Live, so you could even go there and start getting traffic to it and start hanging out on the page preemptively before we even launch, and you can listen to Dudes and Beer right there on CuriousRealm.com/live. See, there it is, moving as we speak. So stop on by, check that out. I'm excited. You should be excited too. You should tell your family and friends to be excited about guests like Dr. John Hall, people like that, as we get ready to change the world and change our brand and change the way that we approach the world and the way that we bring these truths to them. When we get back from this commercial break, we will be talking with our guest, Dr. John Hall, right after this. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code DUDES20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com. And of course, while you are online checking out everything that Podcast Cadet has to offer, full disclosure, I am one of the owners of Podcast Cadet, one of the founders, because I just love helping people do this stuff. So with my years of production experience and people that I know in the same realm in the world of social media, I was like, let's help people get the best start possible. And with that in mind, I get the best start possible every day with my CBD from True Hemp Science. This right here is their number 19 blend. I'm on take my dose real quick for the day. And their product is great. I have traveled all over the country as for a living, and I typically visit the dispensaries in local places. CBD is one of those things that is prescribed to me as a supplemental by my doctor. And when I found Christopher Lynch, the owner of True Hemp Science here in Austin, I fell in love with his product. He was the first person that I heard. And at this time, we had a thing with, like, Chong's Choice, all kinds of stuff. And I tried their product, and it was all right. But Christopher's product at True Him Science Straight Up, folks, is the best product I've had from the many states I have traveled through. And I'm here to tell you right now, it is a whole plant extract. Everything from the bud to the root to the leaf to the stem to the seeds. Every part of the plant is used and reused through spigeric process. Absolutely amazing. Put into vegan-friendly oils. Absolutely awesome product. I use it on the daily. Check it out. TrueHempScience.com is the website. Dudes7 is the code that you want to use to save 7%, or not 7%, I'm sorry, 7% off your entire purchase of $50 or more. But also you will get, check it out, a bag of two edibles, either cookies or brownies with your purchase. So stop on by. TrueHempScience.com is the website. Dude7 is the code that you want to use. Before we have our guest on this evening, I want to give a trigger alert real quick. Not only for our audience, because we're going to be talking a lot about things tonight that may anger you, that honestly should anger you once you find out what alphabet agencies are doing, what government contractors are doing, what kind of underground testing is going on in plain sight of the public without them even knowing. You should be angry. You have a right to be angry. But aside from that, even the clip that we're about to play for all of the TIs that are out there in our audience tonight, and I know that y'all are out there, because I hear from y'all. I hear y'all's comments on the website. I see y'all's comments in the Facebook group. And I thank y'all for being a part of the community. And I thank you for including us in your community as a source of truth and a point of light in the darkness when it comes to this horrific, horrific topic and literal blight on the surface of our country that so many people are unaware of. The audio I'm about to play is of Jeff Ely of Vermont. This audio, I know we played on air before. This is some very rough audio to listen to. I've enhanced it incredibly for broadcast. But this is one of the many instances that we will be talking about tonight where so-called targeted individuals have been pushed to the brink and pushed to the point that they take up arms, that they quite literally take up a weapon in use against either themselves or other people. And this gentleman was a guy who, hey, he was totally into off-roading. Whenever you go check out his Facebook page, which I think may have been shut down, but we showed it that night. I think this may have been the last time that we had Dr. John Hall on for a full-on episode. We talked about this. And this gentleman was like a monster truck enthusiast. He went out monster trucking all the time. He was, you know, that's all his timeline was about, until one day he was like, somebody's talking to me and I don't like it. I don't like what they're saying. This is no good. This needs to stop. And then he made another post. And then right after that, this happened.
Go f*** yourself. You're full of s***. You're the one that did it. Don't f*** lie to me. You think I'm that f***ing stupid?
I hear you. Alright, what's your ass fucking stuff? Trust me, Red. I'm here to help. I know I'm annoying you right now, but if you give me that phone, I'll be able to help you. I'll even show you how I do it.
All right? Where are you,
Well, listen to me, Jeff.
Where are you? Answer that. Where the f*** are you?
And you can still hear the police radios outside.
Keep going and going and going until you push people over the fucking edge!
Welcome to the show, Dr. John Hall. That is quite literally, man. And I've spent my time back in the day doing like mock trials. I remember I did a mock trial for a family that was suing a building owner back in Houston, where like we had to listen to like the 911 tape of somebody like literally dying from the smoke inhalation, and that was pretty horrifying. This ranks right up there with that for me, like the chills that listening to this audio gives me is mind-numbing is the only way I can put it, because it's so personal to hear somebody going through that moment of human frustration that we have all had, but with something that he has zero control over, the voices that he's hearing that, as he said at the end, just keep going and going and going until they push you over the edge.
And that's pretty much the description you'll hear from a lot of people being targeted now like this. And if you notice, and you cleaned up the recording enough that I don't know if your audience picked up on it, but whether it was one of the deputies or because I know there was a sheriff involved that mm-hmm. I think he had some issues with, but you hear him say, well, give me your phone and I'll show you how I do it.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of phone do you have? Give me your phone. I'll show you how I fix it.
Yeah. Not that any of this is actually being done through a phone. It can happen to you whether you're carrying a cell phone or not.
Absolutely.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, and that is one of the troubling things is, you know, right now, I mean, what the government wants varies from, from party to party, depending on who's in charge. But currently we have a party in who is really, really pushing for gun control. And they have thought all along that if you have enough mass shootings, eventually we'll be able to convince the holdouts that are clinging to their guns that there's a reason for confiscation, or at least a reason for curtailing any future sales of guns. Confiscation will be difficult in this country, but thinking that he
literally the mentality is let's convince the few backwood folk that'll be holding on to it. You know, as they would literally put it, the quote Ruby Ridgers. You know? Whenever you look at that case and how that went down and following that shortly after, like, I'm 45, Doc, and I've got a decent memory despite, you know, the bong resin in there that clogs things up sometimes. I've got a decent memory. And when Ruby Ridge and shortly following Waco and then shortly following the explosion in Oklahoma City happened, those were pivotal moments in my life. Like I was in high school when that happened. You know, those are moments.
Yeah, you would have been a kid at the time of Ruby Ridge, I guess, huh?
Just a few years before, I was in like late junior high, man. Because that was only a couple years before David Koresh, and that was like my senior year of high school. I remember getting profound,
Well, and if you look at the current sentiment and wanting to get guns from the populace mm-hmm. so bad, they know that the only way to do it is to create mass shooters. And they figured out a way to do it. And just for your listening audience, Chris and I had a conversation several days ago. Mm. And I told him, I said, be on the lookout for another round of mass shootings. For one, we've got the current party in power that wants it to happen. And for two, you know, at least with me kind of keeping my fingers on the pulse of what's going on as far as targeting, you know, technology, you know, I've had a kind of an increased uptake in people reaching out to me saying, you know what, I feel like I'm trying to be manipulated and do something violent. Yeah. I'm trying to resist it. But I can tell that their goal is to make me violent. Well, and it just so happens that a lot of these people reaching out to me recently have been Iraqi war vets that, you know, are already under treatment for PTSD and things like that, which is kind of an easy target. I mean, they're easy to find. They're easy to track. They're already probably being tracked by the government, whether they're being harassed or not. And then when you incessantly run voices through somebody or even subliminally just change their outlook or, you know, change their emotions and make, you know, make them angry about one thing or another. And, you know, it's interesting. One of the people you talked about was Myron May. You know, the voices he was hearing was actually trying to convince him that if he did something that horrible, that they would leave him alone. Now, that's not the typical case that you hear with most PIs. Most are just driven crazy enough or angry enough to do it. They're not doing something violent, thinking that it's going to lessen the attacks on themselves. And in Myron May's case, he thought that that would bring all of this to light in the media would give it a fair shake and realize that there are control technologies being used on some of these people for a political agenda on a grander scale. And unfortunately, he was just, as most TIs, was labeled just another crazy person that went violent. Now, that has changed here in the last couple of years. Now that we have diplomats coming forward, you know, we have CIA agents coming forward saying they're being attacked, and now employees in D.C. Of the government coming out saying that they're being attacked. But nonetheless, yes, you can control people into performing acts of violence for a political agenda, and that is exactly what we had in that case there that you played.
Yeah, precisely. And I mean, I've got the Healthline thing up about the mysterious syndrome first detected in Cuba, now reported in the U.S. And like you're saying, pushing people to the brink with these technologies is pretty, technically would be a whole lot easier than trying to reach a mass number of people with them.
Well, and it's the reason they do that is the only other way to do that would be for the government to send out its own shooters, to do, as employees, which is, which eventually, even our lame media would come around to identifying that, and it would make the government culpable. Well, as long as you're using technology that most people don't know about, and, even more people don't believe exist. I mean, it's a relative few that mainly believe it because they know someone, either themselves or a family member, that's been targeted by it. As a matter of fact, even, one of the veterans that reached out to me recently didn't reach out to me himself. He reached out to me through his father, who said, when he first came home from Iraq, everything was fine. Then he started complaining that he was hearing voices and he felt like he was, being controlled. And even his dad said, he goes, my son wasn't crazy. He was never crazy. And, the conversations I hear him having sound like one side of a complete conversation. It's not talking about anything crazy. He's answering questions and, being asked questions and giving answers back. And, which is exactly what it sounds like. I mean, it's not somebody talking about angels or unicorns or, Alice in Wonderland type of stuff. It's a communication link, where you can communicate through thought. And it sounds like a normal conversation you would have with somebody standing there talking to you audibly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, precisely. I mean, I can bring up the articles. The one that I just brought up right now, I was going to say, man, it's oh my God, I need to take it to Scream because I'll show you the Google search from the New York Times and even foreignpolicy.com. Claims of secret microwave weapons attacks are scientifically implausible. And this is this is talking about the cases in Havana specifically, which were also followed up by cases in China. Now, what's interesting is that we have actively used microwave activated spying devices, be they cameras, be they microphones, for years in embassies, where they point a microwave antenna at a wall that they know has a painting on it that they've embedded with a microwave enabled bug that's passive. So whenever they pass the detector over it, they detect nothing. But as soon as that dude sweeping the room is gone, they turn on the microwave beam, and now the microphone embedded in the fabric of the picture has power and can hear everything. That's possible with audio. That's possible with video. All kinds of stuff. And that has been a technology known to be used by the CIA since the advent of microwaves into our scientific world. So,
and certainly been used since the Cold War.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're right. That is actually pretty ancient technology by any standards of what we're using today.
Yeah. and to think that even you know, there was. There it was from foreignpolicy.com, and I mean, of course, foreignpolicy.com is totally going to be towing the government line of microwave attacks are scientifically implausible. You know, I don't know of anybody in the broadcasting world that would recommend you stand on the opposite side of a microwave antenna.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it is refreshing to see, though, now at least the New York Times has kind of come around to admitting there's people being attacked by this. The New Yorker actually posted an article not long ago coming around. Now, what's troubling, though, is all of this is finally, this expose is kind of coming out because it's government employees and it's diplomats, you know, and some CIA agents that are complaining about it. Now,
yeah, from
the
Russia.
Thing that troubled me with the New York. The thing that troubled me with the New Yorker article is they said, you know, for the first people that have complained of this. And I'm like, you know, I'm glad we're getting the exposure. These aren't the first people that have complained about this. This technology was used experimentally on the American public.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing that a lot of people don't realize. There are no laws against the government experimenting on the public. That's the first thing we need to combat any of this. You know, John Glenn tried to pass laws to where you had to have informed consent for any black budgeted type of experimentation, and it was shot down in Congress. You know, and, you know, the United States never did take part in the Space Preservation Treaty either, which, you know, which most nations agreed to not weaponize space.
That's
out the window, because all the nations are weaponizing space now, especially China, Russia, and us.
You gotta catch up to us. We've been doing it for years. I would challenge anybody, and I've got a space shuttle operator's manual. And whenever you start going through the STS missions, it's pretty funny how, even though they are a civilian agency, you will never, ever, 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 ever see a NASA shuttle piloted by a civilian pilot. They are always piloted by commander or higher in the Air Force. And beyond that... most of the missions, like the greater portion of the missions, are actively classified DOD because they are either releasing satellites or maintaining satellites, things like that. Like we talked about with Mike Turber numerous times on this show. If you remember when Hubble was first launched, they had to go back and repair it because it was nearsighted. It's because it was based on a spy platform that was made to focus at the Earth.
Yeah.
It was not made to focus out to deep space. They had to go replace it with a totally different lens system. So, yeah. We've had this stuff for years, and like I was posting up on screen to see that, of course, there's they're talking about unknown weapons and microwave weapons being scientifically implausible. Well, you can literally go look up microwave weapons, and they're talking about Vigilant Eagle and active denial systems, you know, millimeter wave microwave weapons, that kind of stuff.
Well, and if when you look that up, for people that are that maybe haven't heard of this type of technology, if you don't look up microwave weapons, look up pulsed radio frequency weapons.
Yes.
And that is what they're going to refer to them now in government circles as pulsed RF. And, you know, most of those diplomats, they went through, you know, UPenn, had doctors check them out. They all have gag orders. Several of them have gotten some information to me through secondary sources without seeing me directly. But the only one is one of the girls from China. Actually, her mom did an interview, I think with 60 Minutes. And I think she finally got around to doing one interview before they yanked her from talking to anybody else. But all of the diplomats, both Canadian and U.S. from Cuba, haven't been allowed to talk to anyone other than the researchers that were examining them. And the most of them in Canada actually filed suit against Canada because, you know, basically they were told, well, yeah, you're having some issues and you just need to deal with it. And we're told not to talk to anybody. You know, we're not going to really give you any more information on what it is. I mean, they've been kept just in the dark as the general public about this technology, because the big fear of the government is they can't come out and admit that they have technology that is basically meant to interact with your brain. And that's what these weapons are. They're neuro weapons. It's weapons that are meant to interact with your EEG, meant to subliminally target you or verbally harass you with basically what amounts to bone conduction type hearing.
Yeah.
What it is, it's an electronic signal that goes through your skull. It gets reconverted into sound into your vestibular system. So what's coming in is actually a microwave signal. What's it's being converted to by your brain is spoken sound. So, and that's why it's called voice to skull or in head communication. Yeah. And this was talked about in Army research articles back in the 80s. And they talked about the value of having this technology to be able to communicate with hostages in a hostage situation without the hostage taker hearing. And specifically, they said, imagine the untoward effect of, you know, an enemy hearing voices in their head that you can drive them crazy with. So, I mean, this technology, it began being worked on in the late 70s. It was pretty much functional technology by the 80s. As a matter of fact, I think we've talked about this before. We had prisoners in the Utah prison system that were part of the early experimentation that actually were brought into a cell. They said that the amount of energy being beamed into that cell was so exhausting that it was hard to even get up off of the cots. And all of them described hearing voices in their head of other people who were responding appropriately to what they were thinking back. So even these uneducated prisoners had figured out that something was being beamed into them that was a communication link that not only were they hearing, but the people doing the technology were hearing their answers and thought back. So, I mean, this technology has been around for a while, and obviously, you know, my first book came out now, I think 12 or 15 years ago. My last book's probably 8 or 9 years old now, and a lot has actually improved since then. But I think the experimentation phase is over, and we're into the normalization phase, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and I've got it up right now from New York Times, July 5th, 1976. It's okay, you're going home, a voice in Hebrew told hostages. This, of course, about one of the many famous hostage situations in Tel Aviv. We heard a voice in Hebrew. It was about 11:30, but I could not be sure. The Israeli said for everyone to remain on the ground. Don't move and wait. There was more gunfire. Then we heard somebody say, it's okay now. Get ready to move to the door. You are going home. This once again from the New York Times archives, July 5th, 1976. We talk about it all the time, the voice of God weaponry that was used in the Gulf War. Once again, one of those things that happened when I was in high school that I vividly remember. The cases of Iraqi soldiers, whole platoons of people laying their weapons down in the trenches, surrendering, saying that the voice of Allah had told them to give up. All technology.
And then later it came out that was the technology used at that time was actually called S-Quad.
Yeah.
Silent sound spread spectrum. Yeah. And that's still around as well. And that's kind of similar to what we use as an LRAD, which I'm really surprised the LRADs weren't used when we were having all of the, you know, the burning of the buildings and everything. Yeah. I'm really shocked that those weren't used, but I fully expected to see that. But, you know, all of that rioting, certain factions of the government kind of wanted to happen. You know, had they continued rioting in D.C., probably would have brought the LRADs out. Because, I mean, as you can see, there's a difference when private citizens are having their buildings burned down and their businesses destroyed, and then a bunch of people actually try to enter the halls of Congress. The National Guard and the fences come out pretty damn quick when you're actually threatening the political class.
Well, now, see, the thing is, in order to have the LRADs out, Doc, you would first have to accept the help that was offered that would supply the LRADs.
LRADs, yeah.
And when you roundly refuse the help so that you can make a political scene, that's what happens. You don't have LRADs on the scene that can disperse a crowd. And for those that don't know what we're talking about, I'm about to bring it up. You see it regularly out at protests, things like that. It is the long range acoustical device that you see in so many places on top of Humvees, things like that. It basically just looks like a big parabolic speaker. The new versions, of course, just look like a very focused speaker or an array of speakers like this second one, the LRAD Sound Cannon. And yeah, they can focus debilitating frequencies on you that, like we were showing earlier in the documents, make you feel like your skin is on fire, things like that.
And I do want to be clear for your audience. This is not just a sound cannon that plays a loud sound irritating.
No. Yeah.
It can burn you. It can make it hard for you to breathe. It can make you poop your pants.
Yeah.
You know, it's various sound maneuvers that actually change the way your organs work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah, precisely. I mean, frequencies are a powerful thing. And even now I've got it up from Forbes. The Pentagon fears the deadly microwave weapons are undetectable. And they would be pretty hard to detect. You know, I mean, microwaves are pretty readily available in the world around us, period. You can't necessarily.
And actually,
go ahead.
The Defense Health Agency, DHA, is currently actually looking for a wearable way to detect pulsed radio frequency and microwave weapons on the troops, something that they can wear that maybe will light up or go off when they're exposed. I actually, you know, after being in communication with the DHA and reached out back out to them, and I said, you know, the problem isn't necessarily detecting it. Raytheon has a way to detect it already, by the way.
Sure.
At least Raytheon in South Korea has already got a very, very smart device that actually can detect it. The problem is once you detect it, you can't escape it. So, I mean, and that is one of the biggest problems with this weaponry. And I remember 20 years ago when a lot of this technology was first worked on, and I had several friends that were, you know, CIA agents at the time actively. They were pretty forthright with me, and that's where I got a lot of information that I wrote both of these books. And, you know, so there are some good guys there that realize that we've invented technology that we can't defend against ourselves.
Yeah, even people, you know, like and Robert no, Duncan. And it's amazing the number of people that have come out in the last many years. You know, like I said,
and you've had Robert Dunk.
Yeah, go ahead.
You had him on the show, and he'll be the first to tell you, you know, that, and this isn't the only technology that we've invented that we have no defense against. I guess the assumption was that there would be such a lag time before anybody else got it. But what they didn't think of is that most of this technology started in the Soviet Union. You know, we got wind of it through the Soviets, and you know, as the Soviet Union fell, some of Smirnov's technology through his widow actually made it into private contractors' hands and into government hands here, where it was worked on and finished. And I think one of the biggest flaws of a lot of our technology, especially military technology, is that our country always seems to think that they're working on it in a vacuum. And you have to realize that anything that you figured out, every other industrialized nation is probably kind of figured out or working on too. If you notice the technology races, the Russians and the Chinese are never too far behind or too far ahead of us. You know, the technology kind of comes as a wave, and you may be a little behind on the wave, but you're going to be there eventually.
Yeah.
And to think that we would be the only ones with this technology would just be silly thinking. But I think that's what they thought.
Yeah, and to know that any decent technology has its means of weaponization. Be it through a means of control, be it through a means of, hey, this is the data that we collect, what have you. There can be a nefarious means to just about anything in the world. But when you're talking about this stuff, it's quite literally being made for the purpose of weaponization. And
made for the purpose of control.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are probably thinking, well, why would the government want to do that? Mm-hmm. Well, to control you. You know, as the government grows larger and larger, their fears of having their power taken away also grow larger and larger. It's kind of like being a top ranking boxer. You know, when you're young and in your prime and you know you can't be beat, you know, things are pretty good. As you get older and a lot of younger guys start coming at you, and you know eventually you've either got to retire undefeated or go down, you get a little more and a little more paranoid about that. And we're at a point where now the federal government is so large that it feels like it needs to control everything in order to keep its power. And now we even have a pretty strong Marxist faction that is trying to kind of take control of the government too. And I mean, if you read some of the predictions of Bezmenov back in the 80s, when he, a former KGB agent, when he did a television interview, and he talked about the steps that the KGB was taking to demoralize America and basically, you know, kind of turn us over into Marxist hands. Tell you what, if you read some of his predictions, that does sound like kind of what's happening. You know, he talked about infiltrating the universities with Marxist-minded professors to brainwash the kids, demoralization. Their biggest fear with our country was our patriotism and our spiritualism. It was a Christian country that was full of patriots, and they knew they had to defeat those things in order to make this country Marxist. And we're really just about there. And that, then you take this technology when you have a lot of the middle class who still are mostly faith-based, who are paying the majority of the taxes. Well, those people aren't going to go for socialism. They're not going to go for Marxism. They need to be controlled.
Well,
Go ahead. Well, and as well as everybody else around them has to be controlled. And if you look, the media is doing their job at it. I mean, you can't have independent thought on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter.
Oh my God!
If you're speaking,
I've got 10 different people I know in the last 5 days that have contacted me like, post this because I can't post anything right now. And from varying walks of life, it's wild. It's wild, the amount of blocking. And to even go into the document that we've been showing on screen here about the high frequency pulse microwave devices right here. I mean, HPM devices can produce effects that range from denying the use of electronic-based equipment to disrupting, damaging, or destroying such equipment. HPM weapon advantages include all-weather capability, low-precision pointing requirements, and effects persistence after the radiated EM energy beam has been turned off. One major advantage of HPM is that electronics are generally more vulnerable to high fields and high energies than humans. This provides the ability to attack electronics without harming people, which makes HPM an ideal choice for non-lethal applications. Also makes it a great choice for blocking technology, jamming technology. I'm adding that. But it goes on to say, two major challenges of implementing HPM technologies into operational weapons platforms are, number one, fratricide or self-destruction can be a problem because of the large areas affected by the side lobes and near field of any meaningful HPM weapons system. And by weapons system, folks, that intonation by fratricide means us. Therefore, yeah. When attacking a target of interest, which means us, with an APM weapon, there is a greater risk of disruption to systems that were not intended to be targeted, but fell within the sphere of influence. Host platforms there may need to undergo interference hardening. And then it goes on to talk about how this is also used in weapons systems, and how it can be used to, you know, of course, scramble the computer systems in guided missiles, all kinds of stuff. But when you're talking about the two major challenges of implementing the HPM technologies are fratricide or self-destruction.
Well, and you know, in my first book, I had mentioned that most of this technology was initially invented to attack hard electronic targets.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not until somebody went, hey, the human body has electrical signals in it that are biochemically electric, don't they? Well, yeah. Let's try it on humans and see what it'll do to humans. And they went, oh, my God, it works on humans, too.
Yeah, modern science shows were just big radio receivers, right? Let's see if this works.
Yep.
And of course, it was people like our good friend Robert Duncan, you know, writing his book, Taming a Demon, How to Tame a Demon, that kind of stuff that really woke people up to the fact that, yes, this technology existed. There were people that were paid to make this technology, of course, for other weapons systems, other uses, things like that. But whenever they saw the fact that it was useful in this way also, they absolutely used it without compunction.
And well, and the bad thing now is it's actually not just solely in government hands now. Mm. So, you know, the way they did the original experimentation, you got to remember the CIA had its hand slapped pretty hard after MKUltra.
Yeah.
You know, we had a Rockefeller Commission, we had the church hearings, and, you know, and they knew that people would dig through the finances and figure out, you know, how this was being continued. And by all means, this is a continuation of MKUltra.
Oh, absolutely.
That was
the first, like, lawsuit against the government regarding such a thing.
Yeah. So they knew they had to bury it a little deeper. So rather than using universities, you know, which had to be paid and, you know, being able to track the finances, because that's how we figured out so much about MKUltra, is tracking where the money went. And a lot of MKUltra was done through front companies and legitimate universities that actually did some of these, you know, heinous experiments. But so what they decided to do was to do the early experimentation with this technology. They farmed it out to private investigative groups or individual citizens, most of whom were former FBI, former NSA, former CIA agents working as private investigators. That way they had people in pretty much every major city, and basically let them figure out how to let the technology make money for themselves. So that way there was no direct government check going to somebody saying, here's your check for experimenting on people in your community. You know, they were able to take this technology and use it for private investigation, use it for corporate espionage, you know, as long as the data from the experiments came back to the appropriate agencies, that's all that mattered. And a lot of these private investigative groups were basically said, here's the technology, use it on whoever you want to for whatever reason. We're just interested in seeing how well it works. And that is exactly what you saw in the targeted individual community. You saw people in every major city that were mostly being targeted by people who would bill themselves as private investigators, or, I mean, in some instances there are criminal element, and a lot of instances they are being targeted by, you know, maybe police officers or rogue police departments that are using this. But in the long run, what you saw was a group of people nationwide and now globally that resemble a random sample. I mean, because there may be a group that was mostly targeting gay men in San Francisco. There, a group mostly using this for sex trafficking in Texas, you know, maybe attacking drug addicts in New York City or some other city. But when you really crunch all the population down, it's random, because you can see that majority of the victims of this tend to be female, but it's a pretty even mix now, male and female. It's a pretty even mix when it comes to culture and diversity. And it's a pretty even mix when you look at religious bias. So, I mean, it was indirectly intended to garner a random sample in the experimentation. But I really think that most of the experimentation is being done now. I mean, some of this is ramping down a little bit as far as the sheer numbers of people that are complaining about it. The problem, at least from what I was told from CIA sources, is that once you were enrolled into one of these experimental programs, why they could stop basically harassing you and attacking you, they could never stop watching you. And yeah. I think that's a lot of the reason you see a lot of TIs being harassed into suicide, is because for the most part, this technology truly is non-lethal. Its lethality comes in driving people so nuts and harassing them and torturing them to the point where they kill themselves. And it's my personal belief that I think a lot of these groups are tired of watching some of these people, because you still have to watch them even if you don't do anything, at least by the rules of engagement, as it was explained to me, that they find it easier just to harass them to the point of killing themselves so they don't have to watch them anymore.
Well, and let's get into that real quick, because I know we're right in an hour right now, and you have a practice to get to in the morning. You have a beautiful wife and daughter, and you still have dinner to eat. But there are a few cases in modern history that are precisely what you're talking about. Things like what I've been showing on screen, Mariam Carey, who is, of course, the mother, the single mother who was shot by DC police. And this was back in 2013. This was a while back, right after we first met, which was, of course, during the Aaron Alexis case, which was another huge case where quite literally somebody was talking about hearing voices, hearing the fact that he was driven by delusions, as the Washington Post says, told that he had his ELF weapon. His, you know, extremely low frequency.
Yeah.
Weapon. Things
yeah,
like that.
He engraved that on the shotgun. Yeah. He engraved that on the shotgun. This is my ELF weapon. And he actually had a clearance and worked in this technology. He wasn't delusional.
Yeah.
He basically, that was a vengeance shooting to where he perceived the attacks were coming from, because indeed they do some of the research at the Navy Yard where he shot some of the people up.
Yeah.
Now, and I'll be the first to tell you that I don't condone violent actions. If you're a TI or you know somebody that's voicing these complaints, and they mention to you that they feel like they're trying to be controlled into violent action, do whatever you can to stop them from doing anything violent, because it's not yes. going to achieve any meaningful goal. And luckily, you know, I get contacted by a ton of people, and unfortunately I can't get back to everyone, but you know, when I say Aaron Alexis had reached out to some of us that, you know, that are into this, and, you know, we, you know, tried to kind of steer in the right direction, but he was being severely sleep deprived as well.
Yeah.
So, and that's another way that they actually kind of get to some of these victims is through sleep deprivation.
Yeah, and that was quite literally the gentleman that we played at the beginning of the show, Jeff Ely. That was his issue. Was that it just flipped on a dime. And as I've got highlighted right now, in one document, Aaron Alexis wrote, quote, "An ultra-low-frequency attack is what I've been subject to for the last 3 months, and it's to be perfectly honest. That is what has driven me to this. Investigators are still trying to understand Alexis's, quote, pathway to violence. The etchings on his gun included, quote, not what y'all say, and better off this way. As well as my ELF weapon." So, yeah.
And of course, we've gone from the press saying we're trying to figure out what delusion this man had to now we have CIA agents complaining of being attacked by these very same weapons.
Well, even right there at the end of the article, it says the Navy has legitimately used such technology, the FBI said. But these radio waves have also been the center of conspiracies about government mind control. Maybe if you didn't make it the center of, quote, mind control technology and actual patents that are out there and available, maybe people wouldn't think such things. And
well, and you know, I'll give you my take on conspiracy theory news. As bad as our major media covers things up or omits things or intentionally doesn't cover things, and now our social media is even worse than the major media ever has been as far as not letting you voice the truth or controlling the truth. Really, a show like yours is really about the only place you're going to maybe get exposed to the truth.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. It's been the case quite a few times, oddly enough, with my little show, where even Anonymous reached out to us. People like you, it's been an interesting journey over the last literal 3 years, 4 years together, Doctor, since we have known each other. To see this little thing grow from the ripple to the wave that it is. To the point that whenever we have people like you or our guest last week, Mike Turber, on, that within the month, whenever I look at my stats, easily a third to half of our stats will be coming from the Virginia area, the Washington, D.C. area. It's one of those like, hey, Langley, how you doing? And it's sad to say that's the stuff that gets attention. But if I'm one of the only people out there covering it and it's getting attention, I'm happy for that.
Well, and one hopeful thing I can tell the TI community is, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when I started writing my first book, you know, my attorneys, everybody said, you know what, this sounds crazy. We've never heard of this technology. You know, you probably shouldn't even put this book out there because it sounds nuts. 10 years ago, when guinea pigs came out, I heard the same thing from a lot of my colleagues. They said, you know what, we've never heard of this technology. We don't know anybody that's being affected by it, and it's nuts. Well, then when everything came out about the embassy in Cuba, it was amazing. I mean, I had colleagues come up to me and go, you know what? I remember when that book came out, we thought it was nuts. It sounds like you were ahead of your time. Well, luckily I had contacts within the government kind of feeding me some of that information. And, you know, that's, there was a reason those books were, the first one and the second were written pretty differently. Cause I mean, I was able to take more liberties in the second book than I did the first one.
But to go
full circle from being labeled a conspiracy theory when both of my books first came out, to being saying, well, you're ahead of your time, to being called to comment on the attacks on the embassy workers by Fox News.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and now having some, you know, some media coming out in the New Yorker and the New York Times and some others that are finally fessing up to the fact that these are microwave weapons that are being used. They weren't sonic weapons. They weren't acoustic weapons. It wasn't cicadas. It wasn't crickets. It wasn't insecticide. Psychology Today, after the Cuban embassy attacks, even immediately came out with counterintelligence saying, well, you know, we've talked to five different psychologists who really think that this is, you know, just group, you know, delusions, and, you know, there's no type of technology. And we talked to our experts that said that microwave weapons can't be used like this. And I mean, it was amazing how quickly the counter intel came out, you know, to try to quell this down, because the government is doing their best to not have to admit they have this technology.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard to admit that you have the technology when you are on a steady campaign to discredit the technology, to say that the technology does not exist. And even then, to see it come out from places like the Washington Post talking about how that technology has been actively used by the Navy with legitimacy to be able to put somebody's head.
And in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, we even had military leaders that came out and said, yes, we've got this technology. We need to use it on our own people experimentally before we try to field it in battle. Well, I mean, that's a fact. So.
And you know, one of the things that, we really need to find like a civil rights lawyer and do a whole episode on the fact that there is no law preventing experimentation on the American public, either by the government or contractors thereof.
Yeah, that would be a great thing. And for the TI community that's listening, I did hear today, in a long time, I haven't heard from this individual, but I did hear from Dr. Terry Robertson, and that's a name you probably don't recognize, Chris, but Dr. Terry Robertson was very influential in doing a lot of the early research and in combating this experimentation 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago now. And kind of had some threats on his life, kind of like, you know, Robert Duncan and myself did, and decided to, in order to protect his family, kind of bailed out. But just wanted to say that he's doing well and is still practicing medicine. But Terry did a lot of the research along with me that we took in front of the Ethics Commission that, if you remember, was appointed to address the experimentation that was being done on the Guatemalans using weaponized gonorrhea on prisoners and on prostitutes in Guatemala. And we actually presented our case there in person to the Bioethics Commission. And, of course, you know, a lot younger and a lot more naive, and didn't realize that the Bioethics Commission was actually set up with government bureaucrats who were just as guilty as anyone else in the government as far as ignoring this, that, and already knew it was going on. So, but just wanted to reach out there and say, hey, Terry Robertson's doing well. And he really was an invaluable part of the research early on in this. So
good. And I mean, it's fantastic to hear that those folks are still out there, still doing well, because they themselves, you yourself, Dr. Duncan himself, has become a targeted individual because of his whistleblowing. And even with the things that he posts, like he's one of those that I know that was cast aside so to speak, with the social media shame bell that we have nowadays. But it's one of those, like, I'd love to say the man is not decrying, not ringing the bell of truth.
I'd that's why you have to be really cautious of what
you... Because he's sharing a bunch of disinformation.
Well, that's what they'll definitely put on Facebook, but that you're, you know, so, oh, especially if you mention anything about the COVID virus or hydroxychloroquine or anything like that, it's immediately taken down, even to this day.
Good Lord, brother. How many times did we have that conversation as you have been our literal correspondent for COVID this entire time? We've had that conversation. The fact of, like, well, this episode will probably be banned in the morning.
Yeah.
And quite literally, we've seen it happen the whole time. The whole time we have said that this is quite literally more than likely something from a lab. You know, that the fact that it more than likely came from gain-of-function research, things like that. I've actually got the clip right here. Hold on. Dudes and Beer episode 258 is the clip. There you go. With the concept of it being similar to the common cold and also being a flu, these are things that mutate regularly. And I think that's really a lot of the concern right now is the mutation factor. And, you know, by the time that we do begin to come up with some kind of vaccine, it will have mutated already.
Well, and you got to remember, too, that I think they've pretty well narrowed it down that it is a bat virus. And, you know, there's another really horrible virus called Hendra virus that comes from the bats, too.
Yeah.
That they've been working with in BLS-4 laboratories. But there were no bats being sold at the Olean market, the wet market. But they were experimenting on bats at the Wuhan virology lab. Not that it was weaponized, but it may have been an accidental release from there because it had to get from the animal host to the human host.
There it is, folks. Episode 258 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. One of the many, many, many Dudes and Beer called it moments that you and I have had together.
And man, that was early on in the COVID thing.
Oh man, that was early on. I mean, we're on 326 tonight. That was episode 258. So I don't.
Well,
I will admit,
for those,
I am 2.5 down right now. So I don't want to try to do that math.
And for those listening, just to be clear, the excuse for doing gain of function research is to take an animal virus, weaponize it or not weaponize it, or modify it to infect humans. So in case it ever does infect a human, we know how to treat it or we can figure out how to treat it. Now, that's a very fine line between something that's being done for a health reason and weaponizing a virus, you know, because the way you weaponize a virus is also to make it more infected to humans. Now, me, wouldn't it stand a reason if you're trying to do legitimate gain of function research for viruses that have the potential to infect a human? Wouldn't you be looking at dogs and cats, horses and cows? I mean, as the animals were around, you wouldn't be looking at a horseshoe bat that lives in one remote cave of southwest China that may accidentally get into the human genome.
Pangolin.
Or a pangolin.
That was one of the original excuses, was the pangolins at the wet market that were like exotic treats. Like, dude, you know what? Hey, I'm here to tell you something, CDC. I'm a Cajun, and I love squirrel gumbo. You know what we don't have? A rare disease from squirrel gumbo.
Yeah.
All right? It doesn't happen that way,
and that's what I've told people, too. You know me and my wife, we have a bunch of exotic animals You know, and just so people know, not only do I have a bunch of exotic animals, I've got horses, I've got mini donkeys, I've got wolves, foxes, tortoises, and I live a quarter of a mile from the second largest bat cave on the North American continent. That's bats flying around my house every day. I haven't caught a virus from any of those animals.
Confluence of them.
My Bracken Bat Cave. And I have not caught a virus from any of these animals that I've spread to the rest of the planet. You know, I mean, and that's, I'm still convinced that this was actually a beta test. I don't think this was an accidental leak. I think it was a distribution. And the Italians think it was a distribution, too. As a matter of fact, they're saying that they think this came in on products, not with people. And I think the next virus that they weaponize probably will be far more lethal than the one we just experienced.
Is actively the new stuff coming out of China? There is an entirely new virus coming out of China right now. So we'll see what comes to bear from that. Let's see, I'm bringing it up. This is Times of India. In latest Chinese outbreak, infected get sicker faster. This is the Delta variant, the new Delta variant of the coronavirus. And as we said in that episode, once again, because it's a coronavirus, like, look it up. Feel free to check it out. Feel free to look on the back of any can of Lysol. Because it says coronavirus, and then in parentheses it says common cold. That's what a coronavirus is. It's basically the strain of the common cold. So the fact that that's what we're dealing with, we can deal with regular mutation. We can be ready to deal with that, knowing that that is the technology that is out there. That's what's being used. That gain-of-function research is a thing, that we have been involved with that. We have been involved with this same kind of gain-of-function research, where it's quite literally, okay, these frequencies are great for instant communication. These frequencies are great for communication over the horizon. These frequencies are great for even mobile cooking of food. But what else can they be used for? What other delivery systems can we get out of it? What other carrier signals can we use? And I think it's very much the same mentality whenever you come to that gain of function research, whenever you come to that concept of why would we want to see what this virus could do? That in theory would never, ever, ever cross-populate from one species to the other. But with a few genetic mutations here and there, which are a couple of CRISPR days away nowadays, the technology is easier and easier. It's easier to obtain. And I honestly believe... there's a reason that we outsourced this technology and we took this technology beyond our borders as far as government liability is concerned.
No, and that is the reason they did it. Now, I'm not so sure China would have been the country I would have outsourced it to if I were the one in charge of outsourcing it. And then to try to expect to get truth out of Fauci and Peter Daszak, which, both had directed grant money to the Wuhan lab. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
So, not only did the Chinese manipulate the virus, we were lied to by our own government about it, including being lied to about the success rate of some of the other medications prior to the vaccine. As a physician, we had pharmacists that were actively keeping us from writing for ivermectin and for hydroxychloroquine, when patients would come in with early infections of the COVID virus. you know, which was at a time when the media was making sure to say that neither one of those actually would work. Well, the studies are out now, and both of them actually would help fight off that virus. And when I caught COVID myself, I used ivermectin and zinc and Zithromax. I mean, I didn't get remdesivir or anything like that. And for those who don't know, my wife was pregnant at Christmas, you know, around Christmas time. And Christmas Eve, actually, you know, me and my wife, pregnant wife, and my father-in-law all started running fevers and all tested positive for COVID. Mm-hmm. And I probably had the least of it because I was able to do the ivermectin and the zinc and the Zithromax and the D3, which turns out you need to keep your D3 up to combat it. Unfortunately, my wife was pregnant and couldn't take any of those meds. So my father-in-law opted not to, and they both wound up on oxygen for a little while. So, I mean, the drugs that the media had you convinced didn't work, they do work.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was actively part of the thing that came out from Project Veritas. I've got it up from Homeland Security Digital Library. This is an abstract. This is another PDF that we have pulled up tonight that we will definitely be adding to the vault. And from abstract, quote, a U.S. NIH, that's National Institutes of Health, funded $3.7 million project was approved by Trump's COVID-19 corona disease advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci in 2015 after the Obama White House imposed a ban on, quote, monster germ research. In 2014, the federal government declared a moratorium on gain-of-function research to weaponize viruses related to influenza, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, and Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, or SARS. As a result, the research was outsourced to China's Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is currently at the center of scrutiny for the COVID-19 pandemic. This is from April of 2020, Homeland Security said that. That's when that document was released from Homeland Security. April. We are just now getting to the point of saying that in the press. Until then, to say so was, quote, conspiracy theory. So,
well, see, and again, this technology that we've talked about is a control issue. This whole coronavirus thing was a control issue. It shut down our economy. It shut down our businesses.
Absolutely.
It shut down our schools. And it goes back to what I mentioned earlier when this KGB agent Bezmenov talked about how you basically subdue a country ideologically. He said you demoralize, you destabilize, you wait for a crisis, and then you normalize. And that's right. That's exactly what we've seen happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, whether it be this targeting technology that is out there and the horrible, horrible fact that it exists and that it's been used by alphabet agencies for years and quite possibly the source of many of what we know to be literal mass shootings like Aaron Alexis, even the Dallas police shooter heard voices. So many military people that have that issue. Dr. John Hall, thank you so much, as always, for taking the time to come on to talk about this, to share your personal journey with it, to share your personal story. Let everybody know real quick where they can go. Of course, other than the Dudes and Beers store, to pick up your books, Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control, which is probably my, at least as things have happened with the Havana Syndrome, probably the third time I picked it up and read it just to familiarize myself. That's my favorite thing, is it is literally like an afternoon six-pack read. Great book. between guinea pigs, technologies of control, and a new breed, satellite terrorism in America. Let everybody know where they can go to pick those up.
You can get them at Barnes & Nobles. You can get them on Amazon. And soon the new book coming out, hopefully here pretty soon, The Fourth Branch.
Oh.
So be watching for that one, because that's going to break it down even further. And we'll go over that sometime on your show, Chris.
Oh, man, I cannot wait for that. That is a more than exciting announcement. I can't wait to add that to my library and to just talk about it. So thank you so much, as always, for coming on, breaking down this information, going through the years of research that you've gathered, the documents that are there publicly available. Feel free to stop on by dudesandbeer.com, everybody, to pick those up. Dr. John Hall, please do hold the line while we close things out. While you check those things out on Amazon, make sure to stop on by dudesandbeer.com. Make sure to stop on by the all-new CuriousRealm.com. That is where you can find the exact same content. Once we start releasing episodes, you will start hearing episodes. Until then, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, man, it's a crazy world out there right now. We got to be there for each other. We got to be there to help each other through it. So take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. If you can't be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye, folks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.